Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Outfitter Connection podcast. On this week's episode, we have a good friend of mine, Mr. Heath Bro. That's spelled Breaux. How's it
Yes, sir.
going, brother?
Man, it's going good. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. Just enjoying life out here in the Texas Hill Country.
Yes, sir. Down here in good old South Louisiana.
Yeah, you're from Cajun country.
That's right. Well, right now you got to sell a kidney in order to afford crawfish.
I think I'd sell a kidney for some crawfish.
Well, donate me yours.
Well, I got two. You only really need one, right?
Yeah, well, I like my. No, I'm just, man, it's, don't get me wrong, I eat them, but it's not my, shrimp is more my forte than what crawfish is.
Shrimp's kind of what you like.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, you are the owner of Bros Hunts and Hooks, which
Yes,
is
sir.
it's kind of a cool deal. It's something that's not necessarily new because it's been that type of industry has kind of been going on for the last probably I'd say 7 to 10 years in the hunting and outdoor world. But kind of dive in a little bit and let people know what it is you guys do at Bros Hunts and Hooks.
So Bros Hunts and Hooks got started. It's actually my wife's fault on why it got started. So I've been rodeoing since I'm 12, 13 years old. I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of things, and I have a lot of buddies that have outstanding hunting land. So people would call. They would ask, where they can go shoot 150-inch deer. They'd tell me their budget. I would do all the legwork. I would tell them who to call, what to say, and all of that. And some would tell me thank you, some wouldn't. So the wife kept getting upset, and she's like, "Why do you do that? Like, why do you give your information that took you all these years to grab? You just call, and people call, and you just give it away." So me being a smart aleck like I normally am, I said, "Well, I'll just start me a, brokering service." Ha ha ha. Well, ha 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 has turned into pretty much a full-time job. And through the connections with rodeo, I have all these people. And I was fortunate enough that a good friend of mine that got me started in it, he's kind of taken a sideline for a little while. So I picked up all of his clients and all of his outfitters. So now I have stuff from caribou, grizzly, moose in Alaska, all the way to dove hunts in Argentina, and possibly one out of Africa also. So it's really taken off really fast. I love it. And man, I'm a people person. I like helping people. I like making people happy. And my joy comes from seeing others do what they want to do and get the harvest that they want. That's more, I have a better feeling when people harvest what they really came to do than me doing it. You know what I mean? I kind of like making people happy. I like making memories, and that's what it's all about. It's all about the memories and the relationships that you build.
Absolutely. So you're kind of the midway point for a client and an outfitter, right? You're the one that kind of
Yeah,
puts the two
so
connections together.
yeah, so I so through the outfitters that I have and I help out, I have stuff from Sweetwater, Texas, and off of 20 all the way and past Roosevelt on 10. Accumulatively, between all the ranches and outfitters I have, I probably have access to over 150,000 acres. And that's just in Texas. That's not what I have in Oklahoma, Kansas, the Dakotas, South Dakota for duck hunting, Nebraska, Montana for duck hunting. I've even sold iguana hunts in South Florida with a good friend of mine. I live in South Louisiana. So all the bow fishing, tuna fishing, alligator hunting, man, that's all prime, territory here. And like I tell everybody, the same people that go fishing is the same people that go hunting. Same people that go hunting is the same people that go fishing. We just got to work together and take the clients and run them in a circle and just that way you take care of the people that come to you And in the long run, they take care of you because they become faithful clients.
Absolutely. And so, like, for outfitters and for people who don't maybe not understand, some outfitters own their own land, some outfitters lease land, some outfitters pay by the animal. What Heath does is he kind of takes his book of clientele and his book of outfitters and pairs that client with the outfitter that best suits their
That's
needs,
right.
right?
We have, so it's, you have to fit every genre of people. And I say genre of people because I have clients that they expect to go to the lodging that's, $800 for 3 days and two nights for a non-hunter. I know that I have certain clients I have to send to those particular outfitters. I have some, if you put them a tent with a fan, they're happy. It's just, you have to be able to cater to all hunters that come in, and that's what I strive on. And there's a lot of people that get upset with me before they even dig in to what I do, because people think just because I'm a brokered agency that I mark up the hunts and I charge extra. Out of all the outfitters I have one that I have to mark up my hunts. Everybody else covers my commission. So if you want to go look at these outfitters, they will give you a price as the same price that I have because they cover my commission. That's what makes us, I guess, beneficial and special, because I built my connections around relationships and not around business. I show up to meet these outfitters. I'm bringing Boudin cracklings, stuffed chickens. I'm bringing all this Southern food just to meet these people, because it's about the relationship that you build. If you don't have a relationship, you don't have nothing. So it's better to
Absolutely.
sell yourself and the relationship that you have rather than what you have to sell, because if people like you and they trust you, they're going to do business with you.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's your reputation. So you can have 100 positive reviews in this industry, and all it takes is one negative review, and
That's
you
right.
essentially have to start completely over in this industry. And
That's
it's
right.
It's kind of wild. And that kind of overlays into some other things. Construction businesses, they kind of see that. Electricians, not so much, because electricians are just different people. But as a guide, as an outfitter, as a ranch, all it takes is that one negative remark, and you're going to spend the next year to 3 years rebuilding your brand to offset
That's
that.
right.
You'd have to have 200 or 300 reviews to offset that one negative. And that's the
Yeah.
unfortunate side of this. But you have built like a really good reputation with all the outfitters that you work with.
And
None
if
have
you
been.
remember, I started talking to you about this less than a
Yeah.
year ago.
Oh, yeah. You have come a long way in a year, or in that amount of time, less than a year.
Yeah. So I started Bros Hunts and Hooks officially, paperwork wise, in January, but I've been putting the word out since like late October, and it has grown because, like I said, I had outfits that I've never. So all of the outfits that I have, I've personally hunted on, or I've hunted with the guy that runs that outfit, because I'm not just going to call some random ranch and send my clients there, because why? I've never been there. I don't know how that outfit runs. I don't know how they treat their clients. And it's nothing bad against them. I just never been there. So if there's a new outfit that wants me to push their product, I tell them, look, let me come out. Let me see how you run things. Treat me like a customer. Look, I'll pay for a dough. I'll pay for a management buck. I don't care. Let me see your outfit and how you run. Because I've been to one place, and I'm not going to mention any names. I can't send my clients there. That's just, it's just how the cookie crumbles. And everybody's not what they say they are, and it's just how it is. And I'm not bad mouthing anybody. It's a relationship based deal. Kind of like I said before, you have to form that relationship that whenever it comes up, it's like, hey, this is who you need to call. That guy goes the extra mile. He does everything he can to get you exactly what you wanted. You know, I had a guy called and he wanted a springbuck. I've called everybody I knew in the exotic world, and I have some really big friends with some really big customers, and I found a few of them. But this client had called himself and he couldn't find any. It's just the relationships and the connections I have from rodeoing and people like you that it benefits me. And once they find out that I'm not charging over, they cover my commission, it's like a sense of ease. Like, well, hey, like he's not trying to get over on me. You know what I mean? It's look, I tell him, look, this is what the ranch charges. This is what the ranch wants. You know, it's a yes or no deal. But then again, man, it's just, man, again, it's all about hospitality, relationship, and just how you present yourself, man. You know, it's your word is all you have. You know, my grandpa used to tell me all the time, don't write checks that your body can't cash.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, especially, I don't know, I feel a certain way about like a lot of outfitters and guides in Texas. And again, I'm not gonna throw anybody under the bus or throw shade at anybody or anything like that, but there's a lot of people who are very much legit. Like they're legitimate running operations. They do this day in and day out. And then you have ones that are only in it for the money. They treat their
Correct.
clients like, you know, and they don't treat their clients very well. They don't treat their guides very well, or the place isn't kept up. It looks like, you know, a meth lab, for lack of better words. You know, it's a rundown place. There's cockroaches and bed bugs, and you know, there's a freaking the carcass pile, or the where they throw all
Look, I had
the
a client
carcasses and
tell me.
stuff is right outside the lodge, and that just doesn't suit 99% of the customers very well.
Dude, I had a client tell me that they showed up at this outfit and they walked in the bathroom and there was a, I guess you want to call it a corn snake or a rat snake curled up in the tub. Like, how do you send somebody to say, hey, this is the lodging that we have? You know what I mean? That how do you expect somebody to stay there? Take the time, and if you offer a product, make sure it's what it is, man. It's, you know what I mean?
Well, and that runs into a problem too, because you know a lot of these ranches and stuff are kind of remote. And so it's not uncommon to see snakes, you know, out in the yard, but to have one in the house curled up in a
In the
toilet,
tub, dude. In the tub.
yeah, in the tub, that's going to throw some clients for a loop. You know, that means you didn't do your walkthrough before they got there to make sure everything was spick and span. Turned out, you know, everything, the cleaning lady or yourself didn't clean the place right. It just kind of leaves that ill impression on clients. And
And
in
like I said,
return, like if you sent one of your clients there, that ultimately reflects on you, because your client trusted you to set you up, set them up with
that's right.
the best experience they can have. And to have something like that, it negatively reflects on your business, on the outfitter, on the ranch, on the facility, all that stuff. It never turns out well.
Look, it doesn't matter, and it's just like anything else. You can have the best animals that somebody can shoot, harvest, whatever word you want to use. But if you have a par one accommodations, nobody's going to go there. They would rather shoot a lesser animal and have better
Combinations.
accommodations.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know,
Well,
and
and
look,
that comes, go ahead.
and Pete, so because I'm from Louisiana, I'm not bragging, I'm not whatever. But in the same sentence, whenever I send, let's call them coonasses, whatever you want to call them, South Louisiana people, whenever I send them places, the outfitters love it. Why? Because their cooks don't have to cook. We do all the cooking. We bring the seafood. We bring the boudin. We bring the stuffed chickens. And they like, dude, let me know when y'all coming back. Like, please come back because it's the food, man. That's our hospitality. Like, we go places, and even though we're a guest, we like, hey, we're cooking. Tell your chef to take the night off or tell them to come eat. We're cooking. It's
Dude, and as an outfitter, and like you said, as an outfitter myself, I absolutely love when I get clients from South Louisiana. Absolutely love it because it's like, okay, I don't have to go spend $400 or $500 on food this week. They're gonna bring, I'll go spend a couple $100 to get the odd and end stuff. But 99% of the time, South Louisianans, they bring all the food. They bring the cookers, the fryers, the pots, the boilers, all of it.
they bring the whole back shed of a figure of speech. You know what I mean? So
Oh, yeah.
most people pack the clothes before they leave. Coonasses are packing the cooking ware before they leave.
Yeah, got to make sure you got that gumbo pot and all that stuff, man.
That's right.
Got it. I got it on a ranch over in Marfa a few weeks ago, and they had some Louisiana clients. Dude, those guys brought like crawfish etouffee and gumbo, jambalaya. I mean, good God,
Did you gain
we never
weight
ate so good
while
in
you
our
was there?
lives. What's that?
Did you gain weight your time there?
I did. There's two things I ain't never met, and that's a skinny Cajun
That's right.
and a bad Cajun cook. I ain't never met somebody from South Louisiana that can't cook.
Yeah. But man, just getting back to it again, it's, I love what I do, and it's a convenience for people to call me because I don't mind talking on the phone. You let me know what you want to do. I do all the legwork. I make sure the dates they have available fit you. So instead of the client having to make all kind of phone calls and figure it out, you just tell me what you want to go shoot and when you can go shoot it. And it's the one, and on a different note, the one thing that I found most in this, let's call it line of work, nobody wants to talk about budget. But budget is the number one factor in where I can send you, when I can send you, and what animals you can harvest. For your instance, I can't send somebody shoot a 34-inch Audad with a $1,500 budget. That doesn't work. So,
No, sir.
and some people fuss at me to like, man, like why are you needing to know budget? I need to know where you fit in at. It's no disrespect. It's no, but I can't do all of this legwork and find you the animals that you want and then say, hey, look, my budget was only, like I said, 1500, 2000. And it's like I said, people don't like talking about it, but that's the main factor in the whole scenario that I need to know where your budget is. It's no disrespect to you. If your budget is only 1500, 2000, I have places I can send you to cater to you. But if you off the bat tell me, hey, look, I want to go shoot 150-inch deer, my budget's no more than 7000. Hey, I have multiple places I can try to find you the best deer with the best accommodations with the time span that you need to go. But like I
Well,
said, you can't call me to go shoot a 34-inch Audad on a pack in, pack out, and your budget's 1500. That's not
it's
gonna work.
unrealistic. No.
That's right.
Would you say the budget is probably the most important factor to making
It is.
that connection work?
It is. And look, like I said, it's no disrespect to anybody that doesn't have a high budget. I understand everybody can't afford to spend thousands of dollars to go hunting. But if a man that's been saving up for a couple years has a $2,500 budget, I have a place around Uvalde. They're going to shoot no more than 130, 135 inch deer, 3 days, 2 nights, fully accommodated, lodging and meals. They get a buck and a doe fully guided.
For that price, and that's really good.
That's awesome. But if that guy calls me and says, "Hey, look, my budget's closer to four," then hey, I can go put you on, closer to 140 or 145 inch deer. And I have places where just a management buck is $1,500. I can send you lodging. There's no meals, but there's a full kitchen to where you can cook what you want, but that's fully guided. That way, the man in a stand gives you the green light so you don't shoot the wrong animal. And a management buck is $1,500, fully guided with lodging. I can cater to those guys. I try to cater to the small man just as much as I do to the guy that called me the other day, and he's at $36,000 of exotics and has more that he wants to shoot. I'm not going to treat them any different because I know they're on two different ends of the spectrum. But me, as a booking broker agency, I have to treat them guys the same respect, the same. I'm not going to shorten the man that has l little money. Why? If not, I need to cater to him more because he needs to be taken care of because of his budget. The man that has the money, I know what he expects already. The man that has the little money, I need to not necessarily do more for him, but make sure that he's taken care of.
Make sure you put him with the right outfitter, the right
That's right.
accommodations, and all of that. And not to mention, he gets an animal that at the end of the day of he can be proud of. That and
That's right.
that's something that's very important in this industry too, is I can pull anybody off the street and say, hey, let's go hunt. We're gonna go hunt an axis. What's your budget? Oh, my budget's $2,500. Okay, I'm gonna go put you on, a management axis bug for that price. Not saying that all axis management hunts are that price or that I had access to a place, somebody would have to call you for an axis management buck in that price range. But if they're expecting a 34 inch axis at that price, it's unrealistic. It's not going to happen
That's not. But
under
look,
my contacts. How,
I had a.
where you fall into all this is it's you have these connections with all these different outfitters that have different prices, different
That's right.
accommodations, different amenities, things like that, that fit within various different budgets where I only have access to maybe three or four ranches, and it kind of adheres to the middle to upper tier clientele.
And
And
look,
that's.
I had a wounded, a handicapped veteran, let's call him that. He has to walk with a walker. He wants a cull, maybe low-end management access. I called my guy. I said, "Hey, this is the situation." Well, in the mix of doing all of this, the guy tells me, the veteran tells me, "Look, what's the pay for somebody that comes with me?" He said, "A non-hunter." I said, "Wait, you just said that you walk with a walker." He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Anywhere that I go, I have somebody that has to assist me because of the situation I'm in." I said, "Sir, it is not your fault you're in the situation you're in. The person that has to accommodate you, there's no charge for that person. Why? Because you have to have that person. I'm not going to turn this man down because they have somebody else. If anything, I'm going to try and talk to the outfit and give this veteran a better price because he served the country, he did what was right, and he has to have somebody with him. That's not my fault. I would feel bad if I charge his assistant that has to help him get around lodging and meals whenever he has no choice. He already told me his budget was tight. What kind of person would that make me if I said, "Well, look, that person's going to cost you a extra 500"? No, that's not right. It's not his He has to have that person. So we actually going to get him a management access for what a call access costs, and the person that accommodates him, the lodging and meal is, I don't want to say on us, but we're not going to charge him for it because it's not his fault. You know, man, it's the little things that goes further than trying to make an extra $400. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And it's those little attention, or that attention to those needs of your clients is why I feel your business has blown up like it has. Whenever you asked me about doing this, man, I want to say it was like back in September, August, September,
Yeah.
on how to go about doing this. Your business has blown up, and it's very apparent as to why. It's you do pay attention to your clients and potential clients' needs, wants, desires, what kind of animal they want, their expectations. You're not just in it to make money, although we all do things to make money. You're doing it because you like to see these people for the
Oh,
ability to
yeah.
go hunt. And unfortunately, this industry, it's not getting cheaper.
It's
It's
not.
in fact, it's gone up, I would say 50 to 100% on most animals since
Oh,
2000.
100%. Look, I had a guy book four access hunts yesterday that they're going to be paying me in a couple days. Him and another guy want to go shoot a moose, and I asked him, I said, dude, I said, what's your budget? Getting back to the budget deal. He said, well, what do you mean? I was like, is there a limit to what you would like to spend? And his answer was, I want to go where the big boys are at, and I want to do it one time. That automatically told me the budget is there. I don't have to ask him again because I know what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Like, and almost within the first 10 or 15 minutes of conversating with most clients, what their budget is or what they're looking to pay. I had a guy
Yeah.
call me a while back about a markhor. Actually, a good friend of mine, Colton, he called and asked if I knew anybody that had a markhor. And I said, yeah, I do. Actually, let me put you in touch with the ranch because it's not something that I can attend, but I'll kind of do the patchwork for you and get you connected with them. I was like, is there a budget? And he goes, no, I know what they cost. And whenever a client says, like, nope, I know what they cost, it's not that we're marking stuff up. I didn't mark it up. I didn't tell the ranch to mark it up at all. I just called the ranch. I said, hey, I've got a client. He wants a markhor. Here's his number. Gave Colton that ranch's number and said, hey, get in contact with these guys. These are about the only place I know of that have trophy quality markhor. And he sent me pictures a couple weeks ago of his markhor, and it's like that was cool to, unfortunately I couldn't be there to guide it because on top of all that, I do really enjoy markhor just because there's so few of them. But it's neat to be part of that process to see somebody get like a bucket list item in this state.
Yeah, it is, man. And like I said, and look, so this is, so a trophy is whatever you consider or you harvest. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's a trophy in your mind, what other people think in their opinion doesn't matter. If that 6 point gets your heart racing, then that's all that matters. And I've had people jump my tail because I let my little boy, who's 6 years old, shoot. Actually, the picture that I sent you, he shot an 11 point, like a 9.5-year-old deer, an 11 point, for his first, actually his first deer, first buck. And people was like, why do you want to let your little boy shoot that? Like, he needs to work his way up. Well, first of all, you don't know the situation that we was in. It was his turn to shoot. That deer came out. God said, buddy, that's yours. Take it. I'm not going to tell my son no. Why? Because of the connections I've made over the years, the friends we have, it's my kid's benefit that they get to harvest animals like that. Now, will he be chasing a 12 point for a long time? Yes, he will probably be chasing a 12 point for a long time, but he's going to have the opportunity to shoot bigger deer in inches because of the business that we're in. It's not my little boy's fault. And I think people kind of jump on it. And the reason I say that is it's jealousy that, well, I couldn't even shoot that deer. You're not in a situation that we in. If you want to shoot that deer, then find a place that has those deer. Find, go shoot it. But man, the whole world is about knocking people down. Man, tell that man congratulations. That might have been his
Absolutely.
first buck he's ever killed. It doesn't matter what it is. If that man got a smile on his face from ear to ear and he's all giddy up and perky, don't knock that man down. Go give him a high five. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Congratulations, man. Help him skin it. Don't sit there and knock him down because that doesn't make you the better person. You need to build people up, man, not knock them down.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest problem with this hunting industry as well is you don't know the reason for somebody else's hunt.
That's right.
It's far easier if you see something that somebody shot and you're like, man, I wouldn't have shot that. It's far easier to scroll past it on Facebook or Instagram or social media than it is to sit there and type out a half-cocked remark about how, oh, you should have let that one go another year. Dude, it don't matter. If somebody likes that animal and they felt that
Look,
it was deserving enough to go on their wall, let them have it. It doesn't affect you in any way.
I got a buddy of mine in Mississippi. He's a rodeo announcer. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Mac Ginn. And if you ask Mac what he's shooting, his philosophy is we're shooting tomorrow's trophies today. And it dude, they just, he's like, dude, we're here to have fun, make memories. That's all that matters. Whatever walks out and you want to shoot it and it's legal, take it. It doesn't matter. And he literally lives by, we're shooting tomorrow's trophies today. And it makes me laugh because everybody's happy, man. That's just like the veteran that we're taking hunting. He wants a call slash management. I'm going to try and get him the best management deer that we can. And I'm telling you, the old man is going to be so grateful. And he's probably going to catch buck fever. I hope he doesn't miss. But I'm going to go above and beyond to make sure that that man is taken care of. And he's going to be so grateful, which is going to make me feel better because he's going to shoot something over what he's expecting to shoot. And it's only my respect to him because he served the country. He's done what he's done. I accommodate him. But man, it's my clients being happy and my customers being happy and seeing a smile on their face is way better than anything else.
Oh, absolutely. What would you say this time of year, what are your clients looking to book the most? This
Right.
spring to midsummer before whitetail season.
Well, right now, because I didn't understand how a turkey hunter thinks, they are some absolutely crazy individuals. I thought deer hunters were bad. They have nothing on turkey hunters. I got a buddy. Well, of course, in Mississippi, they call them thunder chickens, but they are absolutely gung-ho, like that's their bread and butter. They go crazy over freaking turkeys. And we did a package this year that you get two turkeys and an axis doe fully guarded 3 days, 2 nights for $2,000. And we pretty much sold 25 packages in about 2.5 weeks.
Holy smokes. You're out there just slinging turkeys. Slinging turkey hunts.
And man, and you know as well as me, they're selling live access for more than what we're selling them for with the turkey hunt, but they feel like they get more and they do get more. You know what I
Yes.
mean? It's You know, man, that's a great package deal. Dude, they was selling off like freaking hotcakes. But right now that deer season has finally came to an end, the exotics is what's going to pick up for the next couple months. And then the people that didn't get their fix for deer, they're going to start looking into places and they're going to start making calls. And look, we can take deposits for deer hunting right now. I got places in Missouri. I got, well, Kansas is a really great, sorry. Kansas is a really great place. What a lot of people don't know is you have to put or apply for your tags in April. So whoever listens to this, if you want to go hunt Kansas, you have the month of April to put in for your tag if you're a non-resident. You can't wait till May. Can't wait till June. You have to put your tags in apply for your tags in April. You have to know where you're going and what section you're in. If you want to go to Kansas, get with me, get with Austin. I can help you get all those numbers and sections figured out, but you have to put it in for April. Again, another draw state. If you want to go hunt ducks, and I have greenheads, big ducks in South Dakota. South Dakota is a draw state. You have to have your tags, apply for your tags before June 10th. South Dakota is a draw state for waterfowl. You have to put in for your tags. So if you're wanting to go a certain place and you don't know, get with me, get with Austin. He can get with me. Let us help you out to where you don't feel defeated. Whenever we know the process, I don't mind helping you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to book through me. If you have a question, call. I'll answer it. I don't mind. Just if you have a particular place you want to go, find out if it is a draw state and when you have to have those tags in so you don't get left out.
Absolutely. And that draw system is very, it can be overwhelming at times because you don't know, especially if you're not from the state where you're putting in for, if you don't know the
That's right.
units, some units are better than others. Some units, they sell tags there, but like, the draw odds might be really good, but your opportunity for harvest might be really low.
You know,
And so
okay, so
it's important to do the research.
take for instance a bighorn sheep in Colorado. If you want a bighorn sheep in Colorado, you need probably a minimum of 12 preference points unless you buy a ranch tag. And if you buy a ranch tag, you got to have a lot of money because they don't go for cheap. But you
Landowner
can
tags are
put in
not cheap.
for, you get one preference point a year. And let's say you put in for 10 years and you accidentally forget year 11, you start back at one and you lose all of those preference points. So that's something you have to stay intact. And right now, it takes between 12 to 14 preference points to go shoot a bighorn sheep in Colorado.
And even if you don't have 12 preference, or even if you have 12 to 14 preference points, you're not guaranteed to draw.
Yeah, you're not guaranteed. You have to keep putting in until you get drawn. And if you skip a year, like I said, you go back to zero. Like I was told the other day to go to Canada and shoot a bighorn sheep is going to cost you between 70 and 80,000 right now.
Oh yeah, like there's the sheep hunts are not.
Yeah.
They're almost not affordable to your everyday working man unless he's saving
Years.
$10,000 to $20,000 a year.
Oh yeah. It's crazy.
It's unfortunate, right? Because I'm a big fan of sheep,
Yes.
the wild sheep of the world. But
Yeah,
I'm slowly watching my odds of drawing one of those sheep tags slowly
that's
decline and
right.
disappear.
Look. That moose hunt in the Yukon is going to cost my guys anywhere, but somewhere around the average of 35,000 a piece.
And a lot of that cost is your guide fees, the camp, because I'm sure those guys
Yeah.
aren't, if you're doing a Yukon moose, I don't know that you're staying in a five-star lodge. You're doing it on horseback,
No, they
packing in
have
for
You can either do it by boat or it's by horseback. And you know what I mean? You're paying for the horses, you're paying for the guide, you're paying for the, you know, what a lot of people, I guess, seem to forget, you're paying for the convenience of people helping you do what you want to do. Because you can go to Colorado, you can buy a over-the-counter tag, and you can go to public land, but you know what? You and the other 10,000 people are doing the same thing. Yep.
It's insane,
If you
bull.
want to go shoot a good elk, it's going to cost you 15, 12, 5, 15,000, but you're paying for the convenience for somebody to guide you and be put on private land.
You're paying for their know-how, their understanding of the land, their
That's
understanding the
right.
animals, their expertise, their knowledge, their professionalism. That's what you're paying for. The animal
Yeah.
at the end of that hunt is the extra.
Yes. You know, that's the same thing in the fishing world. You know, and I hear it all the time. So one of my fishing deals is I have, if people listening want to go look it up, it's Cajun Made Charters out of Fouchon, Louisiana. He was running a 41-foot Bahama, but he's building a 43-foot right now. You know, it's around $1,800, $2,000 a day plus fuel. It's going to cost you anywhere between $625 and $650 a person. It's good for six people, you know, and people fuss about that. And they look at it as, I'm not spending $650 to go fishing for one day. Then you don't have to go. That's fine. But look at it from the guide's point of view. You're riding around in a $600,000 boat. You're using up to $150,000, $175,000 worth of tackle. He has $150,000 to $200,000 worth of sonar on that boat. Plus, he has about $200,000 in motors on the back of this deal. So you're, you know, altogether, accumulatively, he's at about one, you know, 1 million, one point something. But the best part about it is you're paying for his knowledge that he knows where to go, he knows what bait to use, he knows what to do.
That's
You're paying for the convenience of that man knowing where to take you and put you on the fish.
absolutely. And you said his prices were like 675, 625.
Yeah, like $625, $650 per person. So
So
you're looking at
six
about
hundred.
that.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're looking at about that, you know, $3,500 for a one day offshore trip, fully guided, bait, tackle, the whole nine yards. You know, and I don't find that's bad because you don't have the maintenance on the boat. You don't have everything else that comes with it. You know, get your six guys, go have a great day on the water. And if you're catching yellowfin, go price out fresh yellowfin on how much you're going to spend per pound.
Yeah, it's hot.
You know, the last time we went out, we came back with like 35, 40 pounds a piece of fresh yellowfin. Dude, that's hundreds of dollars just
Yeah.
in meat.
And that's something people don't realize. To rent a 1 point, we'll say 1.1, 1.2 million dollar setup at
Yeah.
say even 650 a person.
You're
That's cheap.
not gonna rent that boat because the average person can't drive that boat or maneuver that boat. That's not like a regular 20-foot little bass boat that everybody drives. It's just like an 18-wheeler. You have to turn before. You have to understand how that boat works. That's not just your average. So not everybody can quote unquote operate that boat. Take the time, spend the money, go make memories, and it's all about the experience. You're paying for the experience of it.
And that's something that a lot of people forget is you are essentially at the end of the day paying for the experience. You don't want to like, I get it. Some people don't want to spend that amount of money for a fishing trip, right? But you're not just getting a fishing trip. Very few
That's
people are
right.
ever going to say that they stepped on a $1.1 million operation. And
Yeah.
to be able
And
to
look.
do that and catch fish and have fun and have a personable guide, well, that all pays for, that's what that 650, 625, whatever pays for. It doesn't pay for the fishing. It pays for the equipment, the experience, the personability of the guide,
Look,
and all of that.
he was out last year, blew a motor within 3 weeks of purchasing the boat. That was like 50 G's gone, like that. No questions asked, have to get a new motor.
Well,
You know,
especially when that's
so
like,
it's kind of.
that's one of those expenses that people may not understand is
Yeah.
if you have that big of a boat and that big of an operation and you lose a motor, you can't afford to be down a day because every day you're not out there fishing, you're not
That's right.
making money to keep up,
That's right.
to stay in front of the upkeep of that vessel.
And look, and I did a raffle a few years ago. I sold, I think it was, what was it? I did 100 tickets. This was before fuel went up. I did 100 tickets at $30 a piece. And if you won, you got a full 1 day offshore fishing trip. And the first year I did it, I sold all the tickets in like a matter of weeks, like probably 2 weeks, I sold all 100 tickets. I tried to do it again the next year, and nobody would buy a ticket because they didn't win. You have 1 in 100 chance. So I look at it a little bit different. And people, whatever, I would rather spend $30 on a chance to win an offshore fishing trip than go waste my money on, not waste my money on alcohol. Well, I can't drink anymore, but I'm going to take a chance and buy one ticket to win a offshore fishing trip 1 day for six people. You know, I do it all the
Break
time.
it,
That's
if you break it down even further than that, let's see, a $30 ticket. Let's say you go to McDonald's and order a chicken nugget meal, right? Well, that's 10 bucks.
Hello, it's $10.
You do that for three days out of the week, right? You go eat fast food 3 days out of the week. There's your $30. Hell, I can make
Oh,
a
yeah.
sandwich for less than that, you know, and
Yeah.
save that money and put in for one of those trips, you know, on one of those
Well, look, I
one of
had
those deals you were doing.
so be ready for this, and whenever the time comes, I'll get back with you. We can do another podcast, but I had a little cousin of mine passed away in August of this past year, 28 years old, freak accident. They still don't know what it is. I had a ranch donate a management buck half price, so they donated half, fully guided, 3 days, two nights. You get a buck and a doe. I have another guy that called me about it. He's gonna get back with me. I'm trying to do two access does for second place, and I'm gonna give a ice chest away for third. So first place is gonna get a management buck, fully guided, lodging, meals, fuel, license, the whole nine. It's not going to cost you anything, but if you choose to bring your own alcohol, which that's up to you, and possibly a little bit of fuel, maybe, probably not. A whole management trip, whitetail buck, doe, the whole nine yards, got it, fuel, meals, everything, paying for the license, the fuel, the if you win the second place, which is going to be the Axis does, you're probably going to have to cover the fuel. And then third place is going to win and ice chest. I'm probably doing 3 to 350 tickets at $20 a piece or 6 for 100. And
Very good deal.
I have people right now that are ready to send me $200 and $300 a piece because we're going to take all the money we get. We're going to pay for the hunts. that we have, pay for the ice chest, make sure we have anything that's left goes into a foundation for his kids. So
I
it's
love
a
that.
cause behind it. But people are, and look, people want to donate money the whole nine yards. I'm not making a dime off of this. I don't care if it costs me money. I want to do something that gives back. And I believe it's only going to get bigger. I hope it gets to the point to where we can let somebody go shoot a gemsbok or go shoot a springbok or whatever they want to go shoot, that it gets that big to where people look forward to this auction, raffle, like whatever you want to call it, every year. I think the sky's the limit. You know what I mean? Let's build this
For
thing
sure.
up to where, you know, and look, the bigger it gets, the more things people are going to be able to win. And whoever wins the management hunt, my uncle and aunt are gonna be there. So you get to meet his mom and dad, spend a couple days with them. Like the outfit where we're going is all behind it. Everything's cool. So we're just waiting on a couple things to get through. That way we can 100% start pushing it. But dude, 350 tickets are gonna go in like days.
You know, I'll buy in on that.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, as a hunting community, you know, because I'm sure he enjoyed hunting as well.
He hunted in Arkansas, lucky son of a gun. He had his wife's dad had about a 300 some acre family ranch, and yeah, so he had the good deal, and he passed away in August before deer season, and my uncle actually got to harvest the deer that he was after, so it was a good deal.
That's awesome. Maybe in the next few days, I'll reach out and text you. I've got a couple ideas brewing. I'd like to donate something to it as well. You know, maybe
Yeah,
make
just let me know.
a fourth place prize
Yeah,
or
like I said, we just gotta wait for all the, you know how it goes, all the paperwork and the nonprofit and all of that type of stuff. That way it goes to everything. And we just got to get all our ducks in a row before we really start pushing it. But just a couple people I reached out to and trying to and kind of brought their idea to it. Same thing like you. They're like, dude, you just let me know when. You tell me when, I'm sending you the money. So I think it's gonna be, like I said, it's gonna sell out this year fast. And I think after it happens, it's gonna grow into something that I'm gonna need help with. And this can be really, really big and really, really good. So it's, you know, I hope it gets to the point to where we can still donate to his kids, but we have enough that we can donate something to some other nonprofit. And we get more people involved, which it can, you know. I just want to make sure it's done right, and you know what I mean. It's going to take a little bit of work, but there's a lot of good people that want to help out that can really get it to where it can be the next level thing.
Absolutely. And that's all it takes is for the word to get out. You know, you're at some point you're going to pick up some brands and some other things that will people, you know, will donate to it. I really like that idea, especially with as good of a cause as that is. And I
Yeah.
can't wait to see where that thing grows.
Dude, I hope one day that we get to send somebody to Africa or Costa Rica fishing. How cool would that be?
That dude,
You know what I
Africa's
mean?
so high on the bucket list. I mean, I can't wait to go, but
Well, actually, one of the guys or one of the client, well, actually, the client that I have coming. Him and his buddies that are coming shoot the Axis, and then him and a buddy's going shoot the moose. His brother is building a lodge in Africa. And he's like, dude, I need to get you fixed up with my brother. I'm like, yes, you do. So again, it's just the connections and the relationships you build with people that people want to help you succeed. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
it's easier to build somebody up and help them succeed than it is to tear them down, because it takes effort in tearing somebody down. You know,
Absolutely.
getting back to it, Loving somebody comes naturally. We was taught to dislike others.
That's not something that was ever made into human nature. It was through one reason or another, it was kind of
Yes.
taught.
Yeah. So.
But Heath, I've got a question for you before we go.
What's up?
What would you say is one of your biggest tips to potential clients for booking an outdoor adventure with Bros Hunts and Hooks? Like, how, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice to them?
The biggest piece of advice is, it's, man, that's a pretty broad statement. But if you don't ask the question, I can never give you the answer. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a question, like people always say, the worst question is a question not asked. I can't give you my honest opinion or find you an answer or give you an answer if you never ask the question. And don't be afraid to ask a question. If you want to know why we're doing this, ask. It's my job to explain to you why we're doing this. And don't all so go with somebody that's going to take the time and put out the effort to make sure that you're taken care of. Look, my wife fusses at me all the time because I'm always on the phone calling clients back, calling outfitters, and it's my job and my duty that if somebody asks me a question, it's my, like I said, it's my job and my duty to make sure that that question gets answered to the best of my ability. That's what you're potentially paying me for, is to make sure all your answers, all your questions get answered. So don't be afraid to ask a question. And please don't get offended whenever somebody asks you budget, because like we talked about earlier, that's the main factor. If there a budget isn't there, then say, hey, look, budget's not a problem. You will never hear me talk about it again. But I don't know where to put you sounds bad. I don't know what direction to go if I don't know where you stand. It's no offense to you. I'm not trying to be offensive, but you need to ask questions so I know where or what direction we need to go with. Just ask a question. If you have them, ask them. That's what we're here for. Same thing for you. Or you with your clients and clients, customers, if you have a question, ask it. Don't be afraid. It's you're the client. My job is to cater to you. Ask the question.
Yes, sir. Heath, if people wanted to get with you to hunt either their next fishing trip or their next hunt, how do people get a hold of you?
You
You know,
can
you're.
you can go on my Facebook. It's called Bros Hunts and Hooks. At Facebook, I have both my phone numbers on there, 817-374-2280 or 337-441-5951. My website is currently in the process of being built. That's another avenue that you can get in touch with me with. But man, reach out. You know what I mean? Send me a message, call me, do whatever you want to do. Just ask the question, see what I have going. I'll tell you what I have. If matter of fact, I got some cards right here. And on the back of my cards it says it's Bros Hunts and Hooks for all your hunting and fishing needs. And on the back of my card it says, if you can dream it, we can book it. And I solely stand by that. If you have an idea, let me know. We will do everything we can to make sure the hunt that you want of a lifetime is taken care of and we make it happen. I want to make memories with all of my clients, all of my customers. My number one job is making sure you're taken care of. Call me, send me a text, look me up on Facebook. I'll let everybody know when my website is done. Just get a hold of me. I'm not hard to find. It's if you stay on the phone too long, I will talk your ear off.
Please enjoy our conversations, Heath, and it's been really good having you on, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, call me. Man, you need something, call me. I'll reach out in a couple of days. We'll talk some more on what I talked about. But yeah, man, I appreciate it. Looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much. I hope you have a good week.
You too, man. Y'all be good.
Yes, sir.
Later.